May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 140. 140. When overwhelmed with grief, my heart within me dies, helpless and far from all relief, to heaven I lift my eyes. Hymn 140.
Let us read the word of God in the epistle to the Colossians, the chapters 2 and part of chapter 3. Colossians, Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 2 with part of chapter 3. Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, being buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the thing of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, and or not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in well worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honour to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, that to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Thus far we read, friends, not that we would not read what we read further, but may the Lord bless his word to us, and may we now be given prayer. May the Lord give us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, do look in mercy upon us. Thou hast favoured us to gather, Lord, once more in this sanctuary and with the people here who we love in thy name. Oh, we thank thee for their love and prayers that we believe we know the benefit of as we come among them. And we pray here now together, Lord, do come to us here. Come among us. Oh, may the Holy Spirit testify of Christ. May he take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Come and do us good, Lord. Oh, we are all poor sinners. We pray we may be blessed to know the favours of the things that we've read. Oh, Lord, we might know that wonderful peace of God dwelling in us. Oh, even richly as the word we've read. Do come, Lord, and shoot thy blessing to each soul here tonight. And any that may be listening in, do bless them, Lord. Lord, thou knowest we do seek the good of thy people. We pray we may know the blessed benefits of the gospel. We may be favoured to be confirmed in our most holy faith as we come to the Word and look into the Word, and the Word is opened up to us, we hope, by the Spirit. We may be confirmed in our standing, Lord. We are journeying on. Who knows, we feel it much. Those of us in old age must feel it much. And Lord, we know that we're all fast hastening on toward a never-ending eternity, the judgment day and eternity. Oh, Lord, do prepare us. Prepare us, gracious God. Prepare me. May it be a personal prayer of each one of us. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And Lord, we trust we know the way of thy preparing. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Lord, we're mindful to pray for any dear soul of the dear people here who's not able to be with us tonight. You know, with those that may be in their work unable to be here. We especially remember one and another we especially think of. And Lord, we do pray thus as we are gathered, we may feel this sacredness of thy holy presence. And Lord, go to those who are not with us, that they may, where they are, feel the blessedness of thy presence with them. Lord, how many times we have proved that, that now it's in our own personal experience, they've just come in the cab where we were, Lord, both in the travelling and transport and also on the farm. And Lord, we know thou canst come to thy people wherever they are. And so, Lord, do come to us each and bless us, Lord, here tonight. And our dear friends who we think of too. And Lord, that we may have real worship of thee, our triune God. Oh, Lord, we do seek to praise thee, to bless thee. Oh, here we are so thankful. We trust we can say honestly we are freely thankful that we're not in a deserved hell. Lord, there knoweth those of us who had to come under the law of God in a solemn, deep way. Others may not so deeply, but Lord, where thou hast brought each and every one of thy people into concern, into a sense of need, the way of thy work in dealing with them, how thou dost quicken dead sinners into life. May it be confirmed to each here, Lord, that we are not where we once were, in that state of unregeneracy. If any are still in unregeneracy, Lord, do begin a work of grace, we beg, according to thy will. Quicken souls, Lord, and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. You know, as we come, Lord, as thou hast given us with trust, anointed us and given us burden for souls. And so we come with this burden, Lord, and we pray here among our friends. It's well and good that they should know our burden. It is for their souls, Lord, thou knowest. Whether they be truly new creatures in Christ, born of the Spirit, or whether any are still in unregeneracy, Lord, their burden is that thou would do in them and for them what is so needed, Lord. They may even not know and feel their need, but Lord, thou knowest what is needed, if it be thy will to bless and save them. Quicken us, Lord, any dead in sin. Oh, we beg according to thy will. And Lord, we pray that thy work may appear unto thy servants, Lord. The dear servants that come and minister here. You know it, Lord, too. We think of them ministering in other causes tonight, one and another. And we pray, Lord, that thy blessing, thy favour may be felt in the hills of Zion. And Lord, we would be careful not to just imply that the hills of Zion are our own beloved denomination. They are more than that. We pray for thy people wherever they meet. May they behold thy mercy seat. And wherever they seek thee, may they have the favour that thou art found. And every place may be hallowed ground where thy people meet. Oh Lord, to know Christ within the doors, all everlasting love displays the choicest of her stores. Lord, we think of thy people throughout the world, as we know of the terrible things happening, Lord. Oh, some may be living in tents. We read of those in tents in Old Testament days. We know there are many in poverty, Lord, and many in much deprived situations. Oh, some in famine, Lord, some in war. Who knoweth, Lord, thy people where they are? Oh, we pray for each and all, and that thou in great mercy will help them and bless them and keep them, Lord, supply their needs. Oh, how it is that some have so little, Lord, thou knowest. But, Lord, thou dost bless them in their souls, and, oh, if they have thee, they have everything. Oh, we think of the words of the apostle, Lord, having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Oh, to be rich, as one said, I'm rich to all the intents of bliss. Be this religion mine, the religion of believing in Jesus Christ. Bless thy people, Lord. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. And come and bless us here, Lord, and help us. We may worship thee, Lord. We may praise thee. Bless the friends in their daily lives, their situation, or their living day by day. Or where we're concerned, we trust we are, Lord, to be living to thy praise. But Lord, we've got an old nature, and we've got much to confess of our sinnership. Oh, we beg thee, may we know what we've read in the context of the word. Now thy people are so blessed. Oh, favoured. Oh, may we know, may we be given to truly be able to feel the favour of what we've read in those blessed parts. Lord, that we are blessed to so be living and the old man subdued and grace reigning in the new man. Come, Lord, and reign o'er us as King and accomplish thy will, Lord. Oh, bring us forth from all ill, that we may praise thee tonight. Oh, Lord, do come. Do come and suit thy blessing to each one. Oh, may there be food for souls here tonight. You know, if we are very poor to come and preach among them. But, Lord, thy word is holy and blessed and very rich. And the wonder, the riches of thy grace, Lord, this is what we desire for the friends. You know, if thou gavest the word to us a few days ago, and Lord, we've been begging thee to keep it upon our spirit, that we might bring it here tonight, if it be thy will. And Lord, we know, and we have pondered it, how it is an exhortation from thyself. We know it's words of the apostle, and we know it is as exhortation. And Lord, to agree with thy commands, to agree with all what thou didst minister thyself, dear Son of God, because it's thy word inspired by the Spirit. And so, Lord, do come and help us. We pray, Lord, for our country, our government, our rulers, our Prime Minister, His Majesty the King. We pray for all those in high places and authority over us. Oh, may they do right. Oh, may they, if it could please thee, Lord, be favoured with grace. Oh, they each have a soul. Lord, this is our burden first and foremost in each case, Lord, because we know it ourselves, we are. So was brought to be convicted and convinced of our sin, and blessed to be raised to a hope. Oh Lord, oh we do seek in love for souls, that thou wilt so bless many. And could it even be in those in high places, what a witness it would be. If it is thy will, Lord, thou wilt do it. We pray, we hope, with a spirit of prayer, thou dost give. Lord, do work in high places. May there be a witness in our land that we are a Christian land, a land so highly favoured in years past, but now so fallen and degraded by sin. But oh, do appear, Lord. Oh, do appear to bring more blessed ways of practice and living, Lord, under the influence of Thee, Thy Spirit, Lord. May there be many, many brought. Oh, many called by grace. We beg according to Thy will. And so do hear us, Lord, and we pray for friends in affliction. We pray for friends who have lost loved ones. You know, especially we anticipate attending the funeral on Friday of our late dear friend, dear Miriam. You know, how she was a childhood friend with my dear wife and another dear friend, Oliver at Arbindon. The three together used us to have holiday with Mr. and Mrs. Green at Chatteris. And so we do feel we must attend, Lord. We want to attend. Oh, do make the way so we can attend. And bless the family, Lord. Comfort them, Lord. We do pray there. Comfort them, Lord, with the comfort of Thy love. Surely our dear friend and sister's gone home to glory. Lord, we do feel the sureness of that, knowing her, knowing how she lived and what she had to pass through. Lord, hear us for all who've lost loved ones. We continue, Lord, to know us to remember, Lord, our dear friends of the Jempson family, Lord. And always we do try to remember them day by day, thou knowest. Do continue to comfort them, Lord. And Lord, others, Lord, and know as we have a son in the faith who is in trouble. And try, Lord, help him, be near him, be with him, Lord. And all those of those thou hast given us, Lord, who we mourn over their situation, their troubles, their afflictions, Lord, their long trials, Lord, I have to be in, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, Lord, do give us to be an exercise like we've read, to have that charity, to have it as a bond of perfectness. Help us to live following Thy example, Lord. Oh, the new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. So do help us, Lord, and we may fulfil the law of Christ in these ways, in Thy commandments, Lord, being enabled to heed them and, Lord, practice them. So may we be in profession of religion, not just hearers but doers of the word also. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. And Lord, we may thus have that blessed favour of love and charity. Oh Lord, help us each. Lord, we will not multiply more words now, but oh, do come now, Lord, and see Thy blessing to each soul. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Part of hymn number 1149. 1149, and we'll omit verse 3. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. Hymn 1149, omitting verse 3.
the word, friends, I trust the Lord's given me to bring before you this evening is the 16th verse of the third chapter that we read. That is the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Friends, of course, as I intimated in prayer, it's an exhortation. It is the dear apostle, as we found in the context, he is very concerned because he knows that though this church, this people of the Colossians, are a blessed people, there are some among them that trouble them. And he's concerned, he's carrying concern and in love that he might write this epistle in this way, inspired by the Spirit he has written it. And as we have read, there are those very clear points of expressed concern that the apostle had. And in that way, thus, he is very zealous to also, in this context here, and as we have this verse named for the text, he is exhorting them in a way of good purpose, exhorting the people. And surely, friends, as we know today, we have the dangers among us of those things of trouble coming and conflict and discord, and it doesn't happen by chance, and we do need to be on our guard and to heed such a word as we have read in the context of it here tonight. And also, friends, as I believe the Lord in his loving purpose has given me this word to bring before you, I hope we shall find the wonderful blessedness in it, of what it is speaking of and what it is exhorting us to. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, of course, there's a sense in which, friends, it's the whole word of God. Jesus Christ is the word. Oh, he is the word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, can we say it? The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. It's Jesus Christ, the eternal Word. Oh, in this epistle, we also have in this epistle the statement, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can you identify with that, friends, that favour? Oh, the apostle knew it himself and he acknowledged it with these Colossians. We understand he was not actually that one who formed the church at Colossae. It seems he did not actually form it, but and we find that in what we read in the earlier parts of the epistle, and those that have studied it feel that. But oh, how he has such love to these people because of what had come to him. He speaks of that he hadn't seen their face, some of them he hadn't seen their face in the flesh, they hadn't seen his face in the flesh. But what good tidings, what good news it was he had from Colossae, and what love they show in he and Timotheus in such communications as these we have here in this context. And friends, coming to consider it, like as we've read through the beginning of the chapter, this third chapter, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Do you feel, friends, you can acknowledge you are one so favoured, risen with Christ? I hope I can acknowledge that. It's a very, very humbling thing. We've been raised to a hope. I believe this is what it means in soul experience. God's people, God begins his work in them. When we look right back, we think of where we were when we was unregenerate, and the amazing wonder that he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. And we come to know that in the favour of it, the experience of it, by God beginning his work of grace in us. Can you acknowledge this? That you have that evidence within you, what you've experienced, that God's begun his work of grace in you, quickened you into life, brought you forth from the womb of the covenant by that wonderful first work in you, quickening, making you to become born again, regeneration, making you anew to what you were, giving you a new heart, giving you to know that you're such a sinner, but then raising you to hope. It may be in some solemn measure, it will be, I believe, with everyone in some depth and measure. Each will be brought in some measure to be under the law of God. The law condemns us. We had some very profitable conversation with one of the Lord's servants on Friday, and we were speaking about how we were under the law and how we could agree in what we experienced. And here we knew and had to prove it, that the law of God wasn't the law that saved us. Oh no, the law cannot save. It condemns, it brings sinners in guilty. But we trust we can acknowledge the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And in that way, friends, all what we had to learn and know under the teaching of the Spirit, the Word of God, and all what you have, what you've experienced, what you would perhaps, I hope you can say, and I can say, what is our testimony of what the Lord's done for our soul in beginning with us, in dealing with us, in, yes, indeed, bringing us in guilty as guilty sinners, bringing us to that place where we had to plead for mercy. Here we had to pray like the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And friends, you still will have to pray like that. But he did raise us. And so I believe, like as the beginning of the third chapter, if ye be risen with Christ, I believe it's particularly an experience of God's favour where he raises us to a hope, and Christ is made to be our all and in all. He's our Saviour, our Redeemer, the one upon whom our hopes of heaven depend. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. But coming more particularly to the text, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Are we aware, friends, of how we will not enjoy this? Are we aware? Is it a concern that God gives us? I hope I can say day by day, he gives me this. We know when we're in older age and we've come through a lot, perhaps we have the swellings of Jordan Moor imminent before us. We know the old must die, But friends, we are aware too the young may die. But friends, brought to be in concern and solemn exercise and knowing the plague of our hearts, oh, how we will be, I believe, concerned. And the apostle was, you see, and he exhorts the people of the Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, the word let means may there be nothing to hinder it. Let it. May it be so. You know, are we on our guard, friends? Because if we grieve our God, our Saviour, we won't have the enjoyment, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Oh, God shows his people. He teaches his people, gives his people to know their danger and their refuge too. Friends, tonight, oh, I need to say this to myself more than any of you, really. Oh, we must be aware, we need to be aware of what will grieve our God, grieve our Saviour. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Oh, it will be so if we are enabled by God's grace to keep under the old body, our old nature. Paul speaks of it. I keep under my body. I keep under my old nature. He doesn't do that from his own strength, friends. He does it by the grace of God. He gives testimony of it. How he is able. Oh, how the favour of knowing, the favour of grace in exercise in the new man gives the child of God the enabling to resist the devil. That grace subdues the old nature. And that's how Paul could say, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, because of the grace in exercise in his new man. Oh, in his whole person, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What a favour. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ. What is it? Well, it's Christ himself, of course, as we've said, is indwelling. And, of course, it's the word of Christ. Oh, the wonderful truths of the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel which bears our spirits up, bears my spirit up. A faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation of my hope in oaths and promises and blood. Is that so with you, friends? Oh, friends, may we, by God's favour, may we receive this exhortation. Oh, receive the word into an honest heart. That's a new heart, friends, what God's given you. It's not the old heart or nature. Receive the word. And the word dwells. And may it be our favour to know and not do things to hinder it. If we look at the context, if we look at things exhorted prior to this, especially as forgiving one another, how we behave ourselves, how we profess our profession, oh, do we have love one to another? Do we forgive one another? Think of the prayer that is named the Lord's Prayer. Oh, we forgiving our brother's trespasses, forgiving one another. Think of the Saviour, his holy heart of love. Oh, he said, if a person smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Pray for your enemies, love your enemies. Oh, friends, how important it is, especially in the Church of God, that we should love one another. And forbearing one another, looking at the context prior to the text, the 13th verse, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called, and be in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Friends, in all wisdom, which God gives the wisdom. He makes his people wise. Oh, are we wise? We're not by nature. But oh, has he made us wise in any measure? Oh, in all wisdom, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Oh, friends, that's the grace of God in the child of God. God gives wisdom. He gives understanding. Oh, we think of the words in the Proverbs. Oh, get wisdom, get understanding. In all thy getting, get understanding. And oh, we can't do it ourselves, but by prayer we can plead, and God gives. He gives. He opens his hand and he gives. He blesses his people. Oh, he favours them with the graces of the Spirit. And so, friends, here is this word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Oh, is this important, friends, to us each and among us in the church of God? Teaching and admonishing one another. Oh, I think of how I was when I was young in the way. And actually, friends, I would just acknowledge. Last night I was trying to address the friends at Air Cause at Ashwell in the prayer meeting. And I tried to speak to them from Peter's words. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And I chose the hymn we've just sung to sing two verses of it to close the prayer meeting. The first and the last verse. I said to the friends, I'm looking back almost 60 years, or around 60 years, to when I was young and I'd been solemnly dealt with and brought under the law of God. And then in great mercy, the Lord had raised me to a hope. And I was proving the favour, those favours of God's love and mercy. And there were godly people at Stockfold Hope Chapel. And sometimes too, one went to the Rehoboth Chapel. And there were dear friends, godly, elderly friends that used to ask me questions. And when asked one, at one time, asked questions about various things, what I was feeling, I answered with the last verse of the hymn you've just sung. And I can see that dear person standing before me as I quoted the line through the whole of that last verse. It come back to me so sweetly last evening, friends. And I hope after all those years, we still feel the same. If asked what of Jesus I speak, and so on, lo, my best words or thoughts are but poor. I say he's my meat and my drink, my Lord and my life and my store. My shepherd, my husband, my friend, my saviour from sin and from thrall. My hope from beginning to end, my Lord and my life and my all. Friends, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Sometimes it's needful, friends, that we admonish one another. Oh God, giving the grace in exercising in one of his sons or daughters, they may, perhaps more so with his sons, they may fear they have to rebuke another. Surely we should be careful not to rebuke an elder. But oh, there's sometimes need for it. We should speak to our friends in love and faithfulness. Oh, how it states it here. How it states it in And it's all needful, friends. It's in the Word of God because of God's perfect mind and teaching and admonishing one another. It is such a great privilege and favour to be blessed oneself and then to be able to pray for others and to perhaps teach others. And how do we teach, really? It's important, friends, that we should set a good and right example. It's important that we should show even the world who we love and who we serve. And surely we should be in this together in the Church of God, abiding in union with each other in the Lord and possessing with sweet communion joys which earth cannot afford. We're passing through the wilderness, friends. We're on a wilderness journey through this vale of tears. And we come together in the Church of God. Oh, is it like an oasis in the wilderness when you come into the house of God? Oh, do we prize the privilege of gathering around the Word of God? And do we give witness in our lives that we love the Lord with mind and heart, His people and His ways? Oh, friends, the word here is an exhortation. Oh, that we might so be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. Notice, friends, notice it's the Word of God first, the psalms. Psalms and hymns. And oh, we are thankful we have our hymn book, but psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Oh, admonishing. According to the Word of God, may we be giving testimony and giving witness of who we love and who we serve. And among the brethren and sisters, we may, in love and obedience, profess our profession, that we may be favoured to be together in the Church of God and give Him witness teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Friends, is this how we are? Are we? Oh, singing. Oh, it's we know a mingled path the child of God treads. Oh, in God's holy wisdom, the highest wisdom is God's wisdom. Oh, His wisdom. God is perfect in wisdom. An eternal wisdom ne'er designs to give us always joy, friends. And sometimes when we're in sorrow and sadness and tribulation and under the attack of Satan, oh, perhaps it is that we can speak a wholesome, loving word to a brother or a sister in trouble. And in that way, something is conveyed and the Holy Spirit uses it, that the favour is known in the church. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfil the law of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Think of the psalms. Oh, the psalms. I think of there are those acknowledgements in the psalms. Think of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Can you say it, friends? Can I? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, in the wilderness, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Do we know that favour? Are you after knowing that favour? My cup runneth over. Oh, the wonderful full cup of the feeling favour of the love of God, the love of Christ, the holy joy and peace in believing that the child of God is blessed to know. And if you know it, do you desire that others may know it? Are we zealous in exercise in the church of God to see souls blessed, souls fed? Surely if our ministry is the ministry of the Spirit, friends, we want to see souls blessed. We want to witness the Lord working, blessing souls, doing good in his good pleasure under Zion, and building the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, even in these troublous times, friends, the Lord's still building his church. He is still working. Let us never despise the day of small things, friends. We mourn over it, we know, and we feel it solemnly. It's a solemn concern to some of God's people that God's got a controversy with us. Is it, friends, that we've not been practicing what we have in the context of the body of this chapter? Is it that we've not been practicing? Are we far from right in how we profess our profession? Are we grieving God? Have we grieved the Spirit through not heeding the Word of God? Even the Word of God, the part of the Word of God we have for our text tonight. Oh, if we're not in it, not in exercise in it, we are leaving things sadly in a way that grieves God. Oh, we are not able to do that in souls which God alone by his Spirit can do, but we can witness, we should witness what the Lord has done in us, and we should be witnessing unto the praise of our God and Saviour, God our Heavenly Father, who gave his only begotten Son and his beloved Son, who came and did all what was so solemnly, blessedly, he did it needed. He gave his own life a ransom for many. Oh, friends, and oh, this is what we witness, oh, should witness. Oh, may we be witnessing. I think of the words of the apostle when he acknowledged in the Acts of the Apostle, he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day, witnessing both the small and great, and saying none other things than Moses and the prophets did say should come, that Christ should suffer and be the first that should rise from the dead. Friends, we witness him. And you know, put it to you in love and faithfulness, if God has blessed you, oh, surely we should be witnessing and showing forth God's praise. What is our profession if we're not witnessing what the Lord has done for our soul? Oh, may the Lord grant more favour of this, his people may be in exercise in it, and we might be living to his praise in this way. In spirit, in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Oh, friends, tonight, you know, I think back in our earlier days, we had a natural joy of singing hymns, brought up in the way we were, but they didn't, the actual words in when we were in the state of unregeneracy didn't mean much to us at all. But was it different when the change was given us by the Spirit, when we were born again? And how have we been singing? All the years we've been singing. Oh, has there been melody in our hearts to the Lord? Has there been the strains of praise, honour and glory in our singing? In our words, in our testimony, in our talking, in our conversation, has there been real honour and glory to God from our poor words? That we are very poor, but God gives us of his Spirit to be witnessing in this way. And so, admonishing one another in teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Grace in your hearts. Well, that's everything, isn't it? Grace in your hearts. Having the grace of life, the grace of faith, the grace to carry the cross that we have to. There's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. You'll have your cross to carry, but God gives you grace. And even in the hard things, and what a wonderful thing it is when we can sing in tribulation, when the Lord appears for us, when the Lord so comes and we feel his presence. Oh, in his presence I'm happy. In his presence I'm secure. In his presence all afflictions I can easily endure. Oh, those of you in affliction of body or mind, or it may be circumstances, but oh, to know Christ in you, Christ's presence. Oh, and singing and acknowledging, oh, we are blessed. Oh, here we are favoured. Oh, though we have, as I think I quoted in prayer, I have nothing of my own. My treasure is immense in Christ. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And we must acknowledge, friends, that's a new heart of the child of God. It is. What a holy, blessed, precious thing it is that God does give his people a new heart. And that's where he indwells, friends. Christ in you, as we quoted, the hope of glory. You know, in his favour. Oh, really, it's his abiding presence in a sense, although maybe it's many times we can't really feel it. Oh, because of our folly, because we're mortal, because we're troubled with the dictates of the old nature. The old man struggles hard again, the victory over grace. But oh, God's will and purpose is that grace shall be victorious. And so, friends, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord, with grace in your hearts to the Lord, the Lord, the Lord God, the Lord God Jehovah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons in the Godhead, one God, blessed forevermore. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What a wonderful favour. This is the reality of the favour of God. God giving grace, his grace in his people. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ye are Christ, God's workmanship, created under good works. We are not saved by good works, but we should be bearing witness in that way of who we love and who we serve. And oh, show me thy faith by thy works, friends. So, friends, as you go to James' epistle, especially you find it clearly stated there, oh, faith without works is dead, but oh, how important it is to be bearing fruits of the Spirit. Surely, I mean, in our lives, friends, in our professions, if there's no fruits of the Spirit, there's a big question over what we really know. By the Lord, the Son of God himself said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And oh, it's very parallel to what we've been singing. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. Ye cannot be right in the rest unless ye think rightly of him. Oh, friends, as Jesus appears in thy view, is he his beloved or no? What solemn words these are, really. As Jesus appears in thy view, as he is beloved or no, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath are your lot. Think of it, friends, mercy or wrath. And that's not just for a time, that's eternal. That's for all eternity, that's forever and ever. You know, as a word comes, can't think just where it is at the moment, but the word states, as he is, so are we in this life, in this world. As he is. So it is as he is, the Son of God, in our heart and affection, so are we in this life, in this world. God does his work, you see, in his people in time, brings them to be truly blessed and believing in Christ, living upon his merits, so depending upon him, their hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. As he is, so are we in this life. And you know how he's clear and very solemnly pointed in the word of God, as the tree falleth, so it shall lie. Oh, how we go out of this life, so we will be to all eternity. But oh, friends, and as we have the word previous here, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Friends, do we know the favour of the peace of God? Oh, I will never forget the holy peace that flowed into my soul when the Lord, by his using one of his servants, applying his word to me, set me at liberty right back in 1964. And I had such holy peace for nearly 4 days. Oh, that peace of God ruled in my heart. Oh, it was such a holy peace. And oh, the favour to remember it, joy and peace in believing. Oh, believing, we rejoice to see the curse removed. We bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing his bleeding love. The favour of it, friends. Peace of God. Peace. Oh, how blessed that peace is. Sin blotted out, put away. The favour of feeling the presence of Christ, his indwelling. His holy presence, friends. In his presence is fullness of joy. His people are blessed. They are favoured. Oh, do we know it, friends? Do you know it? Do you know something of it? And so, friends, tonight especially, the words, let the word of Christ dwell in you, in you, richly, in all wisdom, richly. Just want to dwell on that, richly. Well, it's everything, friends. It's your salvation. It's your redemption. It's your justification in the highest favour of the blessing of it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly, in the way of so giving you to feel liberty, to feel joy and peace in believing. Oh, to know your sin blotted out, your sin atoned for. Oh, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I think particularly of parts of the word of God, mine goes to Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's all the church. Oh, do you feel to be in that favour, friends? Oh, how there we have it in prophecy. But of course that prophecy is fulfilled. Christ has come, he suffered, bled and died. He's rose triumphant o'er the grave. He's ascended up on high. He is in his offices in heaven, there ever living to make intercession for us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Oh, in this way, richly. Oh, that you are favoured. Oh, may we know we are favoured. Feel the wonderful favour of it. The word of God dwelling in us richly. That there, dear beloved Lord and Saviour, took all our transgressions and purged them away. Hey, friends, think of it. Those words we've just quoted. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely we understand it. God the Father punished for us his dear Son. God's way of salvation is by divine supplication. It is a substitution, I should say. The punishment was that punishment the Saviour suffered. Oh, God the Father punished for us his dear Son. Think of it, friends. Oh, he bore the punishment instead of us. Oh, what a wonder of wonders. And so the word of God, of Christ dwelling in us richly, his sacrifice, his death, his glorious resurrection. Oh, here we've just come through Easter. And Easter Sunday, the theme, Christ the Lord is risen today. He rose triumphant over the grave. He burst the gates of death and rose triumphant. And friends, having paid the price for sin, brought in eternal redemption by his sacrifice, his holy blood shed, then, laid in the grave, he tasted death for us, friends. Oh, have you seen him as the Ark in Jordan? He's tasted death for us. He's gone into death for us. But he's gone through death. He's rose triumphant. He's in heaven there. He will come again to receive us unto himself. Oh, whether when we pass away, if we by the favour of God are taken home to glory, whether we are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, we shall all be forever with the Lord. The prospect is prospects of peace and foretaste of heaven, friends. In the psalms and hymns, it's for us to be thankful for present favours and be looking for that blessed hope, singing the praises of Zion in that way, in prospect of heaven. Oh, going on day by day. This is a favour, the word of God dwelling in you richly, in all, richly in word of God, dwelling richly in all wisdom, knowing salvation, knowing forgiveness of sins, knowing the pardon of sins and the peace that comes with pardon sin, knowing the glories, the wonders of his glorious resurrection. Oh, that word in Corinthians, the word of the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of Christ dwelling in you richly, in all wisdom and with praise and honour and glory to God. The favour, oh, he's risen triumphant o'er the grave. Think of how the tidings were spread. Oh, and there he himself, the Son of God, said, go and tell my disciples and Peter that I've risen from the dead. Oh, and Peter is the one here. You perhaps feel much like Peter. Think of how the Lord said that to those to go and tell. It was to Martha, it was to those disciples, go and tell my disciples and Peter. And oh, how profound those words are, friends. If you're one who's denied your Lord, he still loves you. Oh, may you be blessed with repentance and godly sorrow we would admonish in this way, you do need this. We would in love acknowledge, this is what we know personally when we've slipped and fallen, and what each one needs. We need to be repentant. May the Lord give that. Jesus gives us true repentance, wills to do what he requires. Jesus whispers that sweet sentence, Son, thy sins are all forgiven. And so, friends, may this favour be in you, continuing in you and me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, and singing, admonishing, teaching and admonishing, teaching. You know, I feel very poor to teach, but I hope we can in some way, in God's favour, make known by testimony what the Lord's done for our soul. May this be teaching. You know, I was such a wild one in my early days, sported with death. But God, in great mercy, stopped me in my wild career and worked in me in his holy purpose, I trust, to solemnly convict me of sin, raise me to hope. I hope in some way I'm a living testimony to what the Lord has done. Not that I would make any boast of it being anything above any other, but friends, it's what the Lord has done for you. Surely you should testify it, to praise him. Not be just a hearer, but a doer of the word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach next Lord's Day and Tuesday evening next week. May the Lord strengthen him to come. Let us close with hymn 836. 836. Believer, lift thy drooping head. Thy Saviour has the victory gained. See all thy foes in triumph led, and everlasting life obtained. Hymn 836.
dear Lord, do forgive anything thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in our service, Lord. O Lord, continue with us, lead us on in the way, we pray. O do come with thy servant as announced, Lord, and now as we have sweet remembrance of him, us hearing him when he first went out and we heard at Brunson Hill. Lord, oh, do bless and help me with our friends here. Lead them each on, Lord, and bless them. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.